not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, John Henke, who will be with me all week. I want to give a shout-out for his email, or excuse me, not his email, his website. It's www.bushkilledjfk.com. Go in there, take a look around, folks. Buy a video, okay? Buy two or three of them. Burn a few copies. Pass them out to your friends, neighbors, and relatives. There's some valuable information on there, and that's what this show is all about, to bring people up to speed, to educate them, to enlighten people on what really happened, okay? Not what we were told on mainstream media, but what really happened with JFK's airplane, or JFK Jr.'s airplane. Okay, getting back to John Henke. John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no problem. We were discussing the 15-and-a-half-hour delay in spite of the fact that Kennedy very clearly and corroborated by the NTSB had contacted the tower, a 15-and-a-half-hour delay in spite of the fact that his emergency locator transmitter went off, in spite of the fact that he had a transponder on the plane that would have told them exactly where he was, in spite of the fact that as long as we're talking about the avionics on the plane, let's mention that he had a very, very sophisticated autopilot. He could have typed in the destination, and no matter what was going on in the atmosphere, and the evening was clear, the NTSB report quotes the airport manager saying that the moon was visible. So there were patches of haze. But if he had encountered a difficult patch of haze, he could have just pushed one button, and the autopilot would have taken him to the runway of the airport. I was discussing the emergency locator transmitter and the fact that ABC showed a graphic of the map of Martha's Vineyard with the emergency locator labeled as the emergency locator and in the proper location. So they had that information. And then you brought up the fact that Sherman Skolnick got reports from people that he felt to be credible who claimed to be FBI agents and who claimed to be providing him with an FBI report saying that there were bombs on the plane. However,
right.
let's have a look at that.
It's an email I got from
Sure.
Alyssa.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, and you said that the email said that I was wrong saying...
No, yeah, what he is alleging is he said he just took a look at bushkilledjfk.com and read the blurb for the JFK Jr. video. There's a problem with it. Let me address it.
Yeah,
no, that's how, I mean, believe me, you know, all I'm doing is reporting this. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, this guy's right or wrong. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm not suggesting that.
I get this all the time from listeners, you know.
My listeners
sometimes are skeptics, and that's okay. Yeah,
that's
go ahead.
That's good. No, that's better than okay. That's what you want.
Right.
I went into this thing, like everybody else, looking for bombs. Right, I assumed, I guess, and I'm sure that I ran into that Skolnick stuff, which appeared fairly early on. However, let's notice a couple of things. One of them is that the ELT, the emergency locator transmitter, where's the emergency locator transmitter typically located, Mr. Pilot?
In the rear of the airplane.
In the rear of the airplane. So if there had been a bomb in the nose of the airplane and had blown the engine off, the airplane still could have flown, and the engine would have shot straight down, but the airplane wouldn't have. If the bomb had been in the middle of the airplane and had blown it to bits, the airplane wouldn't have shot straight down. It would have fluttered to Earth. If you'd have blown off one of the wings, it would have sent it into a spin. You correct me, because I don't know, and I'm not a pilot, but I have been told.
I'll stop you if you're wrong. Go ahead. You're right so far.
You blow off a wing, the pattern you're going to get in the radar is the thing swooping off in one direction or the other, so it wasn't in one of the wings. If there was a bomb on the plane, it was in the tail, but the emergency locator transmitter worked. We have to go. We'll come back.
All right. Hey, you're catching on, buddy.
I'm catching on.
We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We've got more. It's a great show, folks. Call your friends and neighbors. Be right back.
Mm-hmm. The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, John Hankey, talking about JFK Jr.'s plane crash. Okay, John, go ahead. We'll continue with the possible bomb, the wing breaking off, or if the bomb was in the front and the engine fell off and so forth. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and your email said something about the fuel valve.
Right.
Let me take it up and go. The thing is that I'm going through the NTSB report, and I'm looking for evidence of a bomb. And the NTSB report says, well, there's no evidence of any sort of a fire. And, you know, any bomb is going to have a flash, and there's going to be evidence of a fire. And, all right, well, so do we believe the NTSB report when they say that? Well, the thing is that if that plane was brought down by a bomb, it was brought down by a bomb in the tail. Because if the bomb were anyplace else, it would have caused a different kind of... It would have shown up differently on the radar than the way that it showed up. And the way that it showed up on the radar, there was either a bomb in the tail or somebody on the plane pushed it into the water, which was not by far and away my first guess, the second one, that it was pushed into the water. In any case, the question is, do we believe the NTSB report when they say that there was no evidence of fire anywhere on the plane? And, well, let's look at that question just in terms of the NTSB report first, which is that the NTSB report I found to be extremely reliable. First of all, and most importantly, it confirmed Todd Bergen, right? Todd Bergen was the Coast Guard representative who told the ABC television people that Kennedy had contacted the tower, and the NTSB report does not try to change that around and try to show Kennedy doing anything other than what Bergen describes, which is coming in on final approach and then leveling off at 2,500 feet, which is exactly what you would anticipate at the point that that Bergen alleges that he was contacting the tower. The second thing in a laundry list, and there may be more, is that the NTSB report said that the battery was missing from the cockpit voice recorder. And I called the people who were responsible for maintaining the plane, and they thought that that was outrageous, that the battery was missing. They had, in fact, the plane had been serviced, I think, a couple of weeks before. And was it you? I spoke with Tom Floco this morning. We had a very good and very friendly conversation. Floco is one of the people who has reported Skolnick's story, but also on his own. He's Floco found a guy who claims to be CIA who gave him either the copy of a different report, or somebody sent me a copy of an alleged FBI report, I think out of Phoenix, saying that there was a bomb on the plane. But the point is that...
Out of Phoenix, huh?
Doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's not out of Martha's Vineyard. It's not out of New York or Boston.
Okay. All right,
who cares? It's not the point. The point is that... Oh, somebody told me that there were Israeli agents seen near the plane. And if there were Israeli agents near the plane, I'm open to the suggestion that those Israeli agents removed the battery from the cockpit voice recorder. Somebody did. Somebody surely did. The NTSB report also contains just this outrageous series of letters Kennedy had over the course of 20 years of flying. He had about 15 and possibly more flight instructors, and the NTSB interviewed, I think, all of them except one, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they interviewed every flight instructor whose name appeared in any of the logs except one, and the last flight instructor that he had used was a guy named Rob Morena. And Rob Morena's story is just outrageously full of contradictions. He says that he spoke with Kennedy the morning of the flight. Witnesses who I could name but will not because they've asked me not to, but who were intimately involved in the operations that went on at that airport, told me that the story that this guy says, that Morena says, did not make sense. These were people who had contact with John Kennedy. And Morena says he called Kennedy to say, do you need your keys? That's what he told the NTSB 5 days after the crash, was that he had called Kennedy to ask him if he needed his keys. And this individual told me, you don't call John Kennedy for stuff like that. He would call you, but you would only call him over something that was much more important than that. But Morena would have been the flight instructor who normally would have been expected to accompany John Kennedy, and he made a phone call that morning. And this guy, my source, says that he's lying in the first report about what he says. He then, 6 months later, he called the NTSB and said, oh, I just remembered that the morning of the crash, when I talked to John Kennedy, I offered to fly with him, and he said that he'd rather do it on his own. Now, he didn't remember that. He had written a letter to the NTSB. He had been interviewed. He wrote the letter 5 days after the crash. He was interviewed the same day, and it's, you know, 2 pages of interview. It's a very extensive interview with lots of important questions, and central to those questions were the discussion of Kennedy's use of flight instructors, and that particular incident didn't make it into any of that record. But 6 months later, boom, there it is. And that's all reflected in the NTSB report. Then this guy's lawyer, the NTSB, if you witness, give testimony or evidence in front of any federal agency, they're supposed to advise you that you have a right to an attorney. And they didn't tell Morena that because they didn't call Morena. Morena called them 6 months later. And then so the NTSB has to notify Morena's lawyer, the company, the lawyer for the company, and they do notify the lawyer for the company and tell the lawyer what Morena said, and he writes back saying Morena's lying. That did not happen. All of that's in the NTSB report. So it doesn't seem to me that the NTSB report has been in any important way falsified. And there would have been just enormous different pieces of evidence, and we haven't even gotten to the most significant. There would have been all sorts of evidence that a bomb had been in the plane. For example, the ELT would have, they wouldn't have been able to examine the ELT because they wouldn't have been able to locate it because it would have been blown to bits. But they did examine the ELT, the emergency locator transmitter. They examined it. They found that the battery was worn down. Now, I contacted the manufacturer of the emergency locator transmitter, and I told him that story. And he said, well, you know, if it didn't function, they're supposed to tell us. And there's supposed to be a hearing, and there's supposed to be an investigation to see why it didn't function. And if they didn't do any of those things, then we have no reason to think that our transmitter didn't function. And, of course, the ABC report that shows the graphic that shows the ELT went off and shows that it went off in the waters off of Martha's Vineyard all indicate that it did function. And he says that if the battery was worn down, one would assume that the reason the battery was worn down was because the thing had been laying at the bottom of the ocean functioning for 5 days before it was recovered. So there's two things there. One is that the ALT worked, and another thing flying in the face of them not conducting the rescue, search and rescue for 15 and a half hours. Also, that the NTSB report is apparently legitimate, as near as I can tell. I can't point. The NTSB report, the 500-page NTSB report, does not give a cause for the plane crash. It doesn't tell the lie that gets put out in the official one-page summary, which says that Kennedy lost control. And none of that is in the official 500-page NTSB report. But finally, the luggage. We're discussing a bomb, right? And the evidence,
right, yeah,
whether or not there was a bomb. And if there had been a bomb, it would have been in the rear of the plane. And if it were in the rear of the plane, it would have been probably in the luggage compartment, but certainly next to the luggage compartment. And therefore, you would expect to see the luggage get destroyed. And all of the luggage that was reported, and which was a lot, very significant portions of the luggage, all of the luggage washed up on the shore intact. And the police hadn't evacuated the beach. These are citizen witnesses. They're all on the news, being interviewed by news people, and they all seem credible, they all seem honest, they all seem like ordinary citizens who found this luggage. Lauren Bassett's briefcase was the first thing to wash up, and it had her name tag on it. And there are photographs that were available, at least used to be, and probably still are available on the web at CNN, of that piece of luggage and of the name tag. So, you know, here I am, Joe Blow, fool, trying to do this investigation, and there's nothing there to explain how this plane came down. And so I'm just muddling around, but I think I'll save that for later and go on to another part of the things that in the first week grabbed my attention. So we're going to skip back. We're going to leave this business of the bomb on the plane. I've done a very, very, very thorough investigation. I've had a very friendly conversation this morning with Tom Floco, who was one of the exponents of a bomb on the plane. And you know, we had a friendly exchange of ideas. And, you know, I told him, I think that your witness is not reliable, and explained all of this stuff to him that I just explained to you. And he took it all in stride, and I thought took it as being very credible. Mm-hmm. And certainly legitimate, right? I mean, you know, nobody has the answers. There's a puzzle with 30,000 pieces and that exist, and we have a handful of them. So, you know, you have to allow people to disagree with you, and I don't mind Floco or anybody else having their opinions, and, you know, they have the evidence that they have in hand. But my position is that those are not credible reports. And if anybody's really interested, I mean, go to my website, Bushkill JFK, and I will send you a copy of the FBI report that I don't find credible. I mean, it doesn't read to me like an FBI report in any way, shape, or form, but we'll set that all aside and get to the third piece that is just an outrage, which is that the family was expecting Kennedy to arrive at the airport at 10 o'clock, and there were people waiting for them at the airport at 10 o'clock, and when the plane didn't show up, they contacted the FAA, and they reported the plane missing. The guy who did it, they talked to a pilot who worked at the airport. His name is Adam Budd, and Adam Budd got on the phone and contacted the FAA and then told the Boston Globe and anybody else who would listen that these guys were really rude and they did not want to hear about it. And, you know, I'm sorry, once again, FAA regulations say that if somebody reports a plane missing, You ask them the end number, you ask them the place that it took off, and you ask for the destination, and you begin an investigation. And they didn't begin an investigation for 15 and a half hours. They totally ignored it, but we'll come back.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to Malcolm in Illinois, and then we're going to continue with this. So stick with me, Malcolm. Stick with me, John. Stick with me, listeners. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke, talking about the JFK assassination, JFK Jr. assassination, the plane crash. I haven't opened up the phone lines. I'm going to go ahead and do so at 800-313-9443. If we cannot finish all of what John has to cover today on JFK Jr., we will take it into tomorrow. We have 3 days, and we have a number of subjects to discuss, but it's only fair that we get some input from the caller. So let's go to Malcolm. Malcolm in Illinois, you're on with Michael and John. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, Malcolm.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
All right, it's an honor to be on the air again with you. Listen, I was reading the same documents that you were explaining about the explosion. I'm sorry to go back into that subject, but I'm not trying to challenge or dispute you. I just want to help us all get a full picture of what happened that night.
Sure.
And in the documents, it says that witnesses, a bright light or explosion was observed by apparently 10 people in the area of the aircraft disappearance. So, and it further goes to say the headset, steering yoke, pieces of the crawling, I think this is plexiglass, and carpeting were literally torn apart from off the plane, floating up on a gray head beach. So, indicating a midair explosion.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, hold it right there, and, you know, if you have something else, you bring it up. But let's, you know, not try to get too much on the table at once.
Okay,
So we have two things. One is we have witnesses, and the other thing is we have pieces floating up on Gay Head Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so my response to that is that there was only one named witness, and he was a doctor, and he was in a boat, and he was off Gay Head. He may have been on the breakwater, but he was right there. He was very, very, very close. He was as close as you can be and be on dry land and be as close as you can be on dry land to the crash. And he says, and his name is Probonic or something like that. My recollection is that he was a doctor and that his name is, I think it sounds Polish to me, but and starts with a P. And, you know, if anybody's desperate, you go to Bushkill JFK and get my web address and send me an email and I'll dig it up for you. But anyhow, that was fairly widely publicized. And he says that he heard a boom and he looked up and I don't remember whether he saw a low-flying plane, a very, very low-flying plane before or after the boom, but he also saw that the plane was in the vicinity of this little island called No Man's Land and that the plane had, the next time he looked for it, the plane had disappeared. And I'm not going to make that up and say he saw the plane, he heard a boom, and he looked up and the plane was gone. That may be, but I don't recall. In any case, all of those things did happen in some kind of order, and he never reported seeing a flash. If I'm not mistaken, that, and maybe Floco said this and the report didn't, but I know Floco said it, and I think the report
did. Yeah, that's why I'm reading the Floco, yeah.
That it was a flame, that the plane was in flames and came down in flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that doctor, if the plane had been in flames, he was in the best position to see it and he didn't see it. That's one. He's the only person who gave his name. That's two. There was another report that I'm familiar with of somebody who said that they were a reporter for one of the local papers, but they weren't on Martha's Vineyard. They were across the water on the mainland, and they said that they saw something in the sky. And my response to that is that, one, they're a long way away, and I don't even know. I think they're at least 50 miles away. You decide for yourself whether you can see something like that at 50 mm-hmm. miles. But if it was something that stayed in the sky for any length of time, this doctor would have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's conceivable to me, although, and maybe the doctor packed up and went home at that point, and maybe it was before or after, I don't know, but it's conceivable to me that the, and my thesis is that the bad guys were out there, that the killers were out there, and that they tried to recover the plane, and that they wanted to recover it on the moment that it crashed, and they failed to do that, and there was something that they wanted to get off of that plane. And
exactly.
And it took them 15 hours to
exactly.
do it, which is why they had to keep all the rescuers.
Exactly.
There's an enormous amount of information, I think, corroborating that particular version. And if that were the situation, it is conceivable that these guys would send up an illumination flare in order to help them do what it was that they were trying to do. And it's conceivable to me that perhaps that's what anybody saw. But there are... I had somebody help me who sent me a stack nearly 3 inches thick. This individual tried to send me every single newspaper article that appeared in any publication in the country, and those are the only two witnesses with which I am familiar. Now, the FBI report that somebody sent me says that, oh, yeah, these people don't... It says that there are other witnesses, but I don't regard that report... First of all, I don't think it reads like an FBI report. There are several things in it, and I'm not going to go into them now because, first of all, I didn't make notes, and secondly, I don't want to take the time. But, you know, be your own judge. What the hell do I know? You look at it and see whether you... go online and see if you can find any other FBI report, right? I mean, in my JFK senior video, there are a number of FBI reports, and they don't read like this other report. It isn't in Joe Friday style. It's got a lot of things that are stylistically very, very different than what I would feel I would typically encounter and have encountered in FBI reports.
Okay, we've got to go to another break. Now, Malcolm, have you got anything else? I'll hold you over if you do.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in three with Malcolm and John and Michael. Stick with us. We've got more, folks. This is a great show today. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, John Hankey. And we've got Malcolm on the line. Okay, you got some more, Malcolm? Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to, if I'm not being ahead of your program with you, John Hankey, out of respect, I wanted to talk about the so-called suicidal pilot theory in your documentary, if that was okay with you.
My plan is to bring it up later, but you're on the line now, so if you want to bring it up, bring it up.
Well,
I'll deal with it as briefly as I can. And
okay, well, I just wanted to say that I was just believing that, knowing how the agency has worked in the past, that when they use a fall guy, they usually leave the fall guy there at the scene of the crime to be found so they can pin it on him. It seemed like it's unlikely for them to go out of their way to grab a fall guy and make it seem like he was not there. If they were going to do that, it would benefit them to say that, you know, there was a pilot there, and John Kennedy Jr. just hired somebody who didn't know what he was doing. I think my theory, and I could be wrong, that there was somebody very important there for them to go and get the body back and to hide him. And I think that person was probably George Jr., who was the pilot. After all, he is a pilot. He knows about planes. And sound kind of wild, but I think he may have been the pilot on that plane with John Jr., maybe with some disguise. He did what he had to do to get that plane to crash. He rendezvoused with some people with a boat meeting him, and that's the reason why they had 15 hours, because they had to get him out of the way. What you think of that? I don't know.
Well, why would it take 15 and a half hours? Let's just pick that one up. One, why would it take 15 and a half hours? Two, if you were going to kill somebody, would you hire George Bush Jr. to do it?
Well remember what you said earlier. You said that they had to be close. They had to commit a murder to get close into the gang or into the elite.
Very good. Excellent.
So he was gone for, and you said he was gone for 3 days.
Right. No, and you're paying very close attention, and that's really, really excellent.
Yeah, he's a pilot, too.
I wanted to also mention the fact that you read this business about debris washing up on Gayhead Beach.
Yeah, I heard it.
And that's another piece of the evidence, which is that the debris washed up in a very tight pattern. And if the plane had blown up at 1,500 feet, that wreckage would have been scattered across miles, right? It would have come washed ashore all over New England. But it didn't. It all washed ashore on Martha's Vineyard, as near as I can tell. And most of the wreckage was recovered in a fairly tight pattern on the ocean floor. So those are other things that mitigate against the bomb. And just to wrap that particular issue up.
I'll tell you something. I don't think it's really important. The important thing is the thing crashed, you know, whether it blew up or someone
That's
crashed
right.
it. You know, the important thing, it crashed and it killed them. So,
that's right.
Uh-huh.
Well,
so,
and you're raising the issue of, I said about four times now. Did you ever read the Bible? And it doesn't matter. Skip that. In the Bible, in the story of St. Paul, St. Paul held the coats of the guys who murdered St. Stephen. Right? He didn't pick up rocks. He didn't have to be strong enough to pick up a rock. He didn't have to be strong enough to throw a rock. He didn't have to be talented enough to throw a rock and hit a guy with a rock. He didn't need any talents. All he did was hold the coats of the people who murdered St. Stephen. And I think that's the kind of job that they would have given to George Bush. And this is, you know, tipping my hand as to where we're going with this. But if George Bush was going to be involved in any way, his involvement would have been in something just to be there. And really, that's all you got to do, right? I mean, if you want to join the mafia,
right,
and they're going to murder somebody important, you don't really have to have held a gun in your hand, I suppose. If you're there, if you're in the room, that's enough, because you're implicated. Certainly if you're the former president's son, and also if you're such a bumbling idiot, they can't possibly have given him an important task. But, you know, I'm not saying that you're wrong, and this is something I hope I remember to say very often, is that we don't have all the pieces in hand.
Right.
I'm not sure that your suggestion is illegitimate. I told you my objections. I think that. I don't think they would have given him such an important job.
It sounds wild, but it's a possibility, because you got him missing for 3 days. He is a pilot,
right?
And he does know how to jump out of airplanes with airborne. And for them to take 15 minutes, it had to been something very important they wanted to go to the plane and get. So just that alone, I mean, this possibility is there.
Sure,
but
I agree.
Yeah, but thank you. And could you get me? I've been trying to email you these documents that I wanted to, and I'm having a problem with it. Could you give me the email? BushKilledJFK.com. Is some character in front of it? Because the service people was telling me it has to be something at Bush.
Well, let me give it to you. You ready?
Yeah.
It's info.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
JFK. II.com.
Okay. All right. Now I'll try to get this to you as quickly as possible.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, Malcolm. Appreciate the call. Appreciate your input, partner.
Right.
Okay. Let's continue, John.
Right. Well, we were still talking. In fact, we hadn't got past this issue of the outrageous delay. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that the family was there at the airport at 10 o'clock. They got this guy, Adam Budd. And Adam Budd told the Boston Globe and a number of other people, and in fact that the audio recording of his conversation has been released, and I have it. If anybody was wild crazy to get their hands on, and you get to hear this FAIA guy. But the point is that especially what you hear is that Adam Budd gives the guy everything that you're supposed to give someone in order for the FAA to initiate a search. He has the N number of the plane, the official registration number. He has the point of origin and the destination, and that's all that. If you give that to people from the FAA and you tell them the time of arrival, the ETA, and it was half an hour ago, they are supposed to begin a search, and they didn't begin a search. Senator Kennedy, according to this book called The Day John Died, which I don't regard as remotely reliable, but that book says that Kennedy became involved at 11. Senator Kennedy became involved, and what's very clear, whatever time he became involved, they completely ignored him. Carol Radziwill was the wife of John's best friend, which was his cousin. She was also Carolyn Kennedy, the wife of John Kennedy Jr. She was her best friend, right? So the husbands were best friends, and the wives were best friends. She was staying at John's house that he had inherited from his mother. He was staying at Jackie Onassis's Kennedy's house on Martha's Vineyard the night that the plane crashed. She spoke to them just before the plane took off, and she got a phone call at midnight saying that the plane was missing, and she freaked out and started making phone calls to the FAA to try to get them to begin a search. Now, she won an Emmy. She is a producer for ABC News. Right. Well, a producer for ABC News is not a babe in the woods, and a producer for ABC News that wins an Emmy is certainly not a babe in the woods. And from 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock, I'm sorry, from midnight until 3 o'clock in the morning, she called every FAA facility on the Eastern Seaboard trying to get somebody to initiate a search. And she tells this in her book. Now, she doesn't put any anger into the narrative. You don't feel that, and unless you're paying close attention, you could miss it. But you can't miss the fact that she said it. She said it, but she doesn't draw attention to it. She doesn't, suggest that you should feel that that's outrageous. But as I have just explained, if you know the N number and the point of takeoff and the destination and the estimated time of arrival, they are supposed to begin a search. They're not supposed to give you a runaround. And for 3 hours, they gave her a runaround. And after 3 hours, she gave up and she called the Coast Guard. And when she called the Coast Guard, she told them that there was a flight instructor on the plane. And so we now have a couple of issues that are, to me, flaming, flashing red lights that should be attracting our attention. And one of them is the question of why the perpetrators of what I think to me at this point is clearly a murder. There's something very, very clearly afoul going on. Why would they do this? Why would I said that Senator Kennedy became involved at 6 o'clock in the morning. He called the White House and woke up Clinton and demanded that Clinton take action to get planes in the air, and Clinton took action, and they got planes in the air. However, the Air Force kept the planes in Long Island Sound and kept them directed away from the waters off of Martha's Vineyard, and explicitly kept them directed away from Martha's Vineyard, and kept the Civil Air Patrol explicitly was restricted to flying over the land areas of Martha's Vineyard. The question is, why would they provoke Senator Kennedy like that? I mean, it seems to me that you're asking for trouble when you provoke a senator, especially if you keep him up from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m., or from midnight until 6 a.m. That's an incredible provocation. It's not like Carolyn Radziwill is a no one. I mean, she's a person who's going to, an ABC news producer is a person with contacts and knowledge and knows how to raise a stink and make trouble for people. Why would you thumb your nose at them? Why would you thumb your nose at the Kennedy family in general? Why would you not just let the Coast Guard go on about its business? Why would you not let the FAA go on about its business and initiate the search when the plane failed to land, and initiate the search when the ELT went off, and initiate the search when the transponder set off the low altitude alarm? Why would you not let those things take their usual course? The plane was going 200 miles an hour when it hit the water. Everyone was killed instantly. Why would you not just let things take their usual course? What would be the point of causing this delay? And when I asked myself that question 2 weeks after the plane crash, I didn't have an answer by any stretch of the imagination. The other flashing red light was the fact that on the morning after the plane crash, right, a few hours after the plane crash, it was a Saturday morning, and I remember vividly I was driving down one of the freeways in Los Angeles. I was on my way to Claremont College to a meeting of a bunch of teachers, and I heard on the radio they reported that John Kennedy's plane was missing. And I was very disturbed by that, but I got sufficiently involved in the rest of the day that I sort of put it out of my mind until, as I explained on the first show, that I sat down in a restaurant and saw Dan Rather on the screen and got sick to my stomach. But the next day I went home and I opened up the newspaper and I'm reading the LA Times and there's no report of a flight instructor. And I thought, well, geez, am I nuts? And I talked to a friend of mine and she said, no, I heard that report too. And that made me feel considerably more stable. But what happened to the story of the flight instructor? And so unless you have an objection or anything else, we're going to go into this issue of the flight instructor right now.
Well, that's fine. But before you do that, Now you mentioned one thing, and you said that the airplane hit the water at 200 miles an hour.
Yes.
Now, by saying that, that would lead me, as a pilot, knowing what kind of plane he was flying, to conclude that somebody did indeed push down on the yoke, because if the plane would have blown up, then the fall rate of the airplane would have been at 120 miles an hour, because That's the fall rate of any mass, any type of an object, unless there is some kind of a power source put with it, i.e. in a propeller. You know.
Right. Terminal velocity is 120.
Right.
And my recollection is that the NTSB report reported, first of all, that the engine was going full bore and that it was, you know, the instruments are all frozen when on impact, right? The needles are all where they were. Right, because they get smashed into the position, and that's my recollection, is that they were doing 200 miles an hour.
Okay, all right, well, let's continue. Go ahead.
But very good. I mean, I really appreciate that you know, it's one more thing that I can put on my list of indicators.
That's right. Write it down and make sure that you depict exactly where it came from, John.
Yes, you bet.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
The flight instructor. Hang on just one second. There are any number of reasons to think that Kennedy would have had a flight instructor on the plane, and not the least of them is the fact that this woman, Carol Radziwill, who was so competent and so close and the last person to speak, I think, to anyone, if you read all of the records, she's the last recorded person to speak to anyone on that plane. And she spoke to Carolyn, John Kennedy's wife, just before the plane took off. And at 3:00 in the morning, she told the NTSB, I'm sorry, she told the Coast Guard that there was a flight instructor on the plane. And that story was put out over the news. And then at about 10:30 in the morning, the Pentagon announced that there was no flight instructor. Let me make sure that that's correct. The Pentagon announced there was no flight instructor. The story, simultaneously, these two stories came out together, that there was no flight instructor on the plane and that John Kennedy did not have a proper license to be flying. And the news reports actually say that the family made that report, but it comes out.
I can tell you already, that's incorrect. He did have the proper license to be flying, and I'll insert one other thing. If it would have been me, and I know John Kennedy was a millionaire, okay, and I'm not, but he was also doing the same thing that I was doing when I was actively flying, and that was he was getting hours for his instrument rating, and he was getting ready to take an instrument test to be instrument rated. Right at that point in time when he died, he was still a private pilot. But he had about 30 hours worth of instrument training, and had it been me, I had about the same hours of instrument training, and if I had the opportunity to take an instructor with me, that would have been a prime reason to do so, because he would be adding instrument time to get his 40 hours that he would need to take the instrument test. So go ahead.
Thank you very, very, very much. I really mean that. And in fact, I have the guy, the newscaster, the news anchor at the Channel 7 affiliate in Boston also makes that exact same point, that and he didn't know, but I'll tell you, that Kennedy had taken the written for his instrument license. He had taken the performance evaluation for his instrument license. The only thing to keep him from getting an instrument license was logging the hours with a flight instructor on the plane. So that's one very, very, very major reason to think that he would have had a flight instructor on the plane. Another very, very major reason to think he would have had a flight instructor on the plane is that there's no record of him ever flying that plane without a flight instructor on the plane. And there's a real good reason for that, which is that, one, he'd been flying for 20 years, but he had just purchased this plane about 6 months before. It had all of this advanced avionics on it, and it's no point in having that stuff on the plane if you don't learn how to use it. So he had to have instructors who knew how to have this stuff, who knew how to operate this stuff, and who could give him training in using it, which is also part of his preparation for flying on instruments, right? Because, I mean, that's the whole thing. The avionics is the instruments that you're able to fly on. It's also a much more powerful plane, which means it's a much more dangerous plane if you aren't very, very familiar with how to use it. And all of Kennedy's instructors said that he was a very, very cautious pilot who never engaged in dangerous activities and who never took chances and followed all of the smallest rules, which also brings up the issue of the allegation by the Pentagon says he didn't contact any of the air traffic control facilities, and his flight instructors all think that that's just an outrageous suggestion. But in any case, that wasn't the point. The point is that he always flew with a flight instructor because he was learning to use the plane. He was logging hours. In addition, there had been...
Okay, we got to stop you.
Okay,
I'll take a break. We're going to come back for the final segment. I am going to assume we've probably got some more to cover tomorrow. But we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. Fantastic show. Be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
we're back. Final segment coming up. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. And we've only got a couple of minutes left here. I want to give out John's website again. It's www.bushkilledjfk.com. Go in there, take a look around. Buy a video, folks. Also, www.theamericanawakening.org. Go in there and take a look around. That's my website. We are probably, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but we're probably going to have to continue a little of this tomorrow. I don't think
we'll
you've covered all the aspects
tomorrow.
Of it.
We'll do an hour of this tomorrow. Easy.
Okay, well, that's great. Folks, I want you to call all your friends, neighbors, relatives, your doctor, your lawyer, your Indian chief, your barber, your nail technician, everybody, and get them on here. This is valuable information. A lot of stuff is being brought out today, a lot of stuff that was buried by the media, and John's doing a meticulous job of bringing it forward to us, and we're just we're tossing things around, okay? None of us have all the answers, but I'll tell you what, John has done a wonderful job of investigating this, and the callers that have called in, Malcolm, any other callers that want to call in and add their 2 cents worth and find out, you know, maybe we can find out more things. And between all of us, we can come to some conclusions. So without any further ado, we've got about a minute left, John. Anything you want to add before we come back and do this tomorrow?
This kicker. Well, so this morning I tried to start with the question of why Prescott Bush would put his son into the situation where J. Edgar Hoover would write a memo naming him, apparently, as the supervisors of the assassin. I mean, very apparently. So I want to end today then with a question, which is, why would they lie about the presence of a flight instructor? Not why would they lie. There's all this evidence that there was a flight instructor. Family reported. Carol Radziwill, who was the most knowledgeable individual available, announced that there was, told the Coast Guard that there was a flight instructor, and they disseminated that information. There were no witnesses to the plane taking off. Let me say that a couple of times. There were no witnesses to the plane taking off. Nobody knew whether or not there was a flight instructor on that plane, but Carol Radziwill reported that there was because she knew for a fact that John had always flown with one before, and that in addition to which, right, he had several reasons that we have discussed. I don't think we mentioned he had broken his ankle, and so when you're on the ground, you use foot pedals, and it was difficult. And he told witnesses that it was difficult for him to use.
Actually,
foot
let me stop you. You use them in the air as well.
In any case, but you can also fly with from the controls of your hands in the air. Yes.
Well, you can, but in order to make a controlled turn, you need the combination of the yoke and the rudders.
In any case, so there's another reason for him to have a flight instructor. He could have flown the plane, but the cast had been taken off, but it was painful, and he told witnesses, this businessman Klein, and at lunchtime he met with his chief editor at George Magazine, and he told Richard Blow, the chief editor, he looked at him on crutches and said, "You're going to fly like that?" And Kennedy said, "Don't worry, I'm flying with a flight instructor." In spite of that enormous mound of evidence that Kennedy had a flight instructor at 1:30 in the afternoon, at the same time that the Pentagon was putting out these other lies about why they were not searching the waters off of Martha's Vineyard, at the same time that they were taking over the reporting and lying and saying he hadn't contacted air traffic control and lying and saying, denying Bergen's report that he had contacted the tower, this story comes out that there's no flight instructor, but there was no basis for that. Why? Mm-hmm. Why would you announce that there's no flight instructor on the plane unless there's at least some kind of report from someone, even if it's flaky? You know,
all right. We got to save it there, John.
I can't wait
to have you back up tomorrow, my friend. Thank you so much for the informative show today, and we will see you tomorrow, John. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. He's going to have Bob Chapman. I'm going to be listening. Gold is going crazy, folks. You want to buy some if you haven't already. Robbie Noel, 800-691-7898. Give him a shout and tell him I told you to call him. See you tomorrow. Call your friends.
It's true.